Tools. Get the job done right with Irwin Tools. Available at Bunnings.
Hey everyone, it's Luke, Dobbo and Margot this afternoon on the show. It is a Friday, so we'll have a look at our Tool of the Week nominations. You guys have got a couple of crackers for us. Also, the Kiwis have made international news. You won't believe why. The Bledisloe's on this weekend. Timmy Horan will join us to preview that. And what are they doing with the M1? Fair dinkum, they're talking about having variable speed limits, but we're going to talk to the Road Minister, the man responsible, the head honcho, the Mr. Buck Stops here, and you'll hear it for yourself. If you listen to this, it's the catch-up, and it's starting right now.
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
No. It's Tool of the Week.
Yes, it is time to hit the phones if you have a nomination for Tool of the Week. If you think of any tool-like behaviour you may have witnessed this week and you want to share it with us, we might fling you a decent prize. Mm. I got a pretty good one, Margot, but have you got one that you want to chuck out there?
Anything? Luke, I've got a couple. So you go first on. And it might help me make my decision on which one I want to go with.
Oh, really? You can't decide.
Mine's, I'm torn.
Mine's an easier one. This is from earlier in the week. This is some lady at a graduation in the United States. Some poor chick, a student, she'd conducted herself at uni for 4 years, really putting in the hard yards to, get her degree. Her last name is Kirchhoff. And of all the times to be disrespected, have a listen to this.
Earning the Master of Science, Haley Armstrong. Rhonda Joy Hinkle.
Yep, so far, so good.
Yep.
Coming on stage.
Jacqueline Jewett.
All good.
Yep.
Julie Jerkoff. Forgive me, Kirchhoff.
Oopsie-daisy.
Yeah, come on, get a name right. It's Julie Kirchhoff. That's why you're my...
You're
Julie Jerkoff of the Week.
Well, what do you got? Mine was going to go to John Hopewade. No reason to explain there. A 10-year ban from the NRL coaching and playing. But I've decided to give it to all of the businesses that are exploiting the farmers. After the nation has come together, the schools, businesses, government, everybody has put money towards helping the farmers out and sending feed their way to the businesses that are exploiting them by putting the prices up of the hay and of other farming products. You are
the Tool of the Week.
Did Margo somehow transition into Dobbo? I know Dobbo's got the, somehow he's not here today.
I thought I'd represent him.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, that's how it's done. If you've got a nomination, hit the phones. We got a cool prize we can fling someone, Benny.
Yeah, this is cool. Double pass and a golf double pass to Sirame with award-winning wine, fine dining, tastings, tours, a year-round calendar of entertainment. You'll be amazed at what you discover at Sirame. So check out sirame.com.
Great spot.
Yeah, give us a call now if you want to get something off your chest for Tool of the Week. We'll chat to you next on The Rush. Shower. Luke, Dobbo and Margot Parker for a Friday afternoon.
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
No, it's Tool of the Week.
Yes, it is. I love this time of the week. See Luke, what everyone's got on their mind.
Dobbo's not here, but what do you reckon his Tool of the Week might have been? Maybe the baby store that he had to go into again with KG?
I reckon he may have picked someone from the Brizzy Broncos. He's basically lived there this week as well. But let's go to Daryl from Narang, see what he's got on his mind and his nomination for Tool of the Week. What do you got for us, mate?
I'm nominating the transport coppers, or the coppers out west that have been booking the truckies. They've been overweight or oversized. I can't imagine they'd be overweight too much. But poor form booking the blokes for taking the stuff out.
I mean, if coppers are going to start booking truckies for being overweight, truckies are going to go broke pretty quick.
I think Daryl's referencing to the load that they may be carrying.
Oh,
Luke.
Sorry, Margo. I misunderstood.
You're onto it, Margo.
Is it the hay that they're taking out there that they're being booked for, Daryl?
That's correct, yeah.
And they're booking them.
They're booking them for being oversized.
Oh.
And
unspirited.
Just poor form.
You're the Tool of
the Week. All right, Daryl, hang there. We're going to crown our best nomination shortly and get yourself a prize. Lee Brown's Planes, who are you nominating? Hey, Lee.
I'm nominating Lee for ringing up and then hanging up.
Hey, Lee, you got us there?
Very sweaty.
Hey, Lee, sorry, mate. Lee. We couldn't hear you. We'll go from the top, mate.
Hey, Lee, who are you nominating for Tool of the Week, mate? Go for it.
I'm nominating myself.
Uh-oh, what'd you do?
I was doing some whacker packing at work around some stuff we were backfilling. Very sweaty, my glasses flew off straight under the foot of the whacker packer.
What's a whacker packer?
Well...
It's a little compacting machine, and it hits very hard on the ground, and glasses in a million pieces. So that joy of knowing that you're going to be working the next 2 days for absolutely nothing just sinks in and makes you feel terrible.
Can I tell you, Lee, I'm not in your industry, but I've had my glasses fall off while I've been whack-a-packing as well.
The Tool of the Week. Lee, hang there, mate. Let's chat to Karen from Palm Beach. Who are you nominating for Tool of the Week, Karen?
I'm nominating the Gold Coast City Council.
Great. Mm-hmm.
What for?
I'm fighting the light rail. I don't want it to go down through Burleigh Heads and Palm Beach. And on Tuesday, I received a phone call from a police officer to say he wanted to talk to me about my protest. And I said, what protest? And he said, the protest you've planned for Wednesday night's light rail. And I said, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, it turns out that council had contacted my local police station and said, you've got to go and talk to this girl about her planned protest. And when he turned up that night, I was just standing there by myself handing out some flyers. And I said to him, well, here you go. Here's your protest. So,
right.
Take a flyer, though, please.
It was just absolutely ridiculous. It's like we're living in a communist country down here, guys. It's crazy.
Karen, you're protesting the fact that you were being hit up about protesting, basically, when you were protesting.
Yeah.
Right. I think I understand, but you know what I need? I need a pen and paper and a good lie down, and I think I'll be able to finally understand what she's saying.
All righty, who are we going to crown?
We've got Karen, who's protesting a protest. We've got Lee from Browns Plains with his whack-a-packer and Daryl from Narang, who is on about overweight truckers. Who do you like out of that lot, Margot?
Well, I think I'm going to stick with the theme of my whinge, and I'm sure Dobbo would concur. Daryl from Narang, the transport company's taking advantage of the truckies who are just trying to get the hay to the farmers. You are our Tool of the Week winner.
Oh, you're a beauty.
Good on you, mate. You're heading along to Siramay, award-winning wine, fine dining, tastings, tours, year-round calendar entertainment. You'll be amazed what you discover there. You can check it all out at siramay.com. You've got a golf double pass, mate. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Pass a little bit of wine.
Yeah, rock on, mate. Hey, this is pretty cool. Earlier today, our producer Nick got some correspondence from somewhere out in the outback from the great Russell Coit, and obviously his show's back on TV now. It's been a massive success, but apparently there's a bit of controversy from the Greenies and a few of the environmentalists and stuff like that over a few of the incidents that have happened on his show since its return to our television. And Russell's joining us right now from somewhere in remote Australia because we believe he's got something that he needs to get off his chest. Have we got you there, Russell?
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Russell Coit here. Sorry I couldn't be in the studio with you there. I got a couple of hours south of Kununurra and I'm bogged. If you could do me a favour, if you could send a helicopter, I'd much appreciate it. Dick Smith around or Bronwyn Bishop? Is Bronwyn Bishop still flying helicopters? I think she might be. Look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put a big coit in the sand and they'll know where to land. If Dick could land on my coit, that would be great. Really appreciate it.
So we're looking for Russell.
You're going. Yeah.
What we're looking for, mate, because we are concerned about you, mate, because we love the TV show and it's obviously been a massive success. Is this life-threatening, what you're suffering from at the moment, and how big will the coit...
I'll take you through it, one by one.
Okay.
Some are life-threatening, others aren't. First up, I've sent a couple of CDs into your radio station,
a whole lot
of coit, and you haven't been playing them. They're country and western. Mm. I have recorded tracks with, you know, Lee Kernaghan.
Yes.
Yeah, no, big fans of Lee.
Yeah, well, I have co-written some of these songs with someone who went out with Lee Kernaghan's sister. So
is that right?
That's the quality of what I'm talking about. I don't know why you're not playing it. There's banjo in there. There's boot scooting music. There's yodeling from me. Listen, if you're not going to play them, I've only got three copies. So if you could send them.
I had a feeling, right, Russell, you might have been involved in that "Doing It in the Dirt" song.
Yeah. Oh, That is one of my favourites. How's it go again?
I want to do it in the dirt.
Hey, Russell, why are people upset with you? Why, is there any reason why the Greenies and the environmentalists would be upset? Because you're all about our great country. You're all about spreading the word and, you know, getting people out to see what we have to offer.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm glad you're on my side. Look, when you're in the outback, I haven't seen the TV show myself. I'm in the outback. I don't get to see it. But apparently, a platypus was killed. A spotted quoll had a bit of a nasty ending. These things happen. It's the reality. Good and bad happens in the outback. And can I say, both of those animals will be going into my roadkill curry that I'm doing in my cooking segment next week on the show.
Waste so not, want not. Waste. Absolutely.
No. We're just glad you closed your croc park down. You have some free time now, won't you?
Well, look, I closed the croc park down because of an incident. We had the hands free. It was a hands-on crocodile petting zoo, and for the kids. And unfortunately, it was hands off for a couple of kids. But that wasn't the whole hand. It was a couple of fingers.
We can't be a nanny state, can we? No. Yeah, absolutely. And is it true?
Nanny state. Exactly.
Is it true, Russell, that you discovered a new Australian creature? And if so, how did you discover it?
Well, it's funny you should say that because it's a little pygmy possum up from around the Kimberley. Right. And scientists did not know it existed until I backed over it. And,
is that right?
They've called it Coitus extinctus. And there's one in the Darwin Museum. It's stuffed. And to tell the truth, it was stuffed as soon as I backed over it.
So you can
go on about all these sort of things, but not many people have got a marsupial named after them like I have. But anyway, you know.
You're a good man, Russell, and you got our vote for Australian of the Year, mate. We've got the radio station chopper out looking for that massive coit that you've left in the sand, and we'll see you this weekend on the TV, mate. And all the very best. Stay safe out there, and thanks for the call.
Thanks. I can see the chopper coming now. It's Dick Smith. That's who it is.
It is actually Bronwyn Bishop, Russell, but it doesn't matter,
Bronwyn.
Mate. You, yes.
Bronwyn, hey, put it down here on my coit.
You can catch the show 7:30 Sunday night on Channel 10. Get on your Russell coit.
Thanks, guys.
It's the rush hour this afternoon. Margo, can we get your 5-second pink review? Go.
Oh, amazing. Just gets better and better. She's flipping and flying silking, and her voice did not waver once. She was unreal.
She's got a few more shows to go up in Brizzy. You can be
seven
a part
in
of,
total,
yeah,
Benny.
Be a part of the show anytime. 13:27 is our number.
Of course, she was sick earlier in the week and had to cancel concert. Pink had the browns, apparently, from earlier.
There it is.
She's a trooper, mate. She does seven shows in one city. Some stars only do that in one country.
Well, speaking of countries, it's not often that New Zealand make headlines around the world, but they are this afternoon. New Zealand, humble little country, great friends of ours, of course. And let's be honest, most of them live right here on the Gold Coast. So we've got, you know,
playing Australia in the Bledisloe tomorrow night, Luke.
Yeah, that's right. And the great Tim Horan will join us pretty soon, actually, to preview that game. But, New Zealand's made international news today, and it has to do with all things a car wash. This video is hilarious. If you don't smile at you, you don't have a funny bone in your body. So what happens is some chick is driving around New Zealand in a car to go to a car wash, and she gets to her local car wash. She can't get into the car wash because some dude is naked standing in the car wash with, you know those bristles that go around, like the big mechanical ones?
He's having a shower.
Yeah, he's just got the mechanical bristles just like rubbing up against his backside.
He's lying on his bonnet.
Oh!
Yeah. Is that the visual, Benny? Is that what he was doing?
I saw the original one before they censored it.
Why
but that's what's
is he
happening.
Doing that?
So he's starfished then. This guy's on the bonnet of his car, starfish naked, copping the brush treatment.
I'm trying to find it. I need to see this.
What you're going to hear is the chick that... And it's so New Zealand. It's so Kiwi, this. Just have a listen. And you can spot the moment, even though this is radio, so you're not seeing the visual. The theatre of the mind will play along here because you'll note the moment where she sees the guy. Have a listen.
Only in Rotorua. Up to, bro. You're on crack.
Turn around again.
What a f*** an idiot.
That's the best bit at the end, where she just goes, what an idiot.
We'll go back around again, but yeah.
Oh, I love the bro she drops in there as well. Mm. Can you just play that bit? Because that's like classic Sonny Bill sort of bro territory that she's getting into there. It's,
up to bro.
Up to bro.
Up to bro.
You're on crick.
You're on crick.
Remember that audio we played last week of Sonny Bill? How many bros did he get into like a 20-second bit?
I think you said 17, I said 12.
Have you got that, Benny? Have you still got this? Is Sonny Bill was on with Paul Gallen just while we're doing our New Zealand tribute this afternoon.
Yeah.
This is a world record from a Kiwi getting the most amount of bros into a 20-second interview with Paul Gallen. It's Sonny Bill. Paul Gallen wants to fight him. Honestly, let's try and count again, Margot, because we got different tolls last time. How many bros does Sonny get in?
Are we going to get it on the ring or what, mate? Yes, what's bro. Going on? Yes. There's been plenty of chat. It's been spoken about for years. We're going to give the fans what they want to see or not?
Yeah, for sure, my bro. You know, to be honest, bro, I'm trying to create a bit of space, a bit of time and get this body right so we can jump in the ring and do that dance. I'm keen, bro. I'm keen, but it's just busy, bro.
Don't leave
just
it too busy. Long, mate. We're not getting any younger.
Yeah, bro. For sure, brother, for sure. I respect your game, bro, and... if I do get back in the ring, I'll come knocking on your door, bro.
How many was that?
I got 13. What did you get?
12, and a brother.
Look, hey, it's the debate that will rage for years to come. Tim Oran joining us to preview the Bledisloe Cup coming up this weekend. We'll get into that for you coming up next. Hey, a big game of footy this weekend. We're talking about rugby union. The international stuff is back, which is always good. Australia taking on the All Blacks. It's must-see TV. Best of the business joining us right now, Timmy Horan, ahead of the first test match of the year. You must be excited. How are you, Timmy?
Yeah, good, Luke. Yeah, pretty excited. It's always this time of year. We all get excited about, you know, whether the Wallabies can do it against the All Blacks. And, you know, this time last year we thought they could do it, and all of a sudden they get, you know, I think 20-odd points by half-time. But I think this year's a little bit different. The vibe's a bit different. Michael Checker, the coach, has got a pretty good culture amongst this Wallaby team.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's always exciting as a Wallaby supporter at this time because we haven't been flogged yet.
No, we just got past, obviously, the Irish was a great test series. Three games there. We won one, lost two. And I think this Wallaby team's a pretty good team. We're still sitting about number four in the world, Luke, so the All Blacks long way ahead of everyone else.
They named a pretty strong side today. Amazing that you've got, I call them second rowers, but both the second rowers for the All Blacks are now playing, have played 100 games each, 100 test matches each, which is just huge. Mate, can I ask a question? Game one's in Sydney, game two's in Auckland. Now, this is Wallabies versus All Blacks. Game three, Luke and Mugger, Yokohama. What the... Why, it's like the state of origin. Why would you be having a Bledisloe Cup match in Yokohama?
Well, Dubbo, I enjoy drinking my Sapporo and getting my little yakitori restaurants in Japan. So we'll be going over there with Fox and covering it. But yeah, I think it's the All Blacks home game. So they've decided to take it to Tokyo. It's about an hour train ride out of Tokyo, the stadium. So it's where the World Cup final will be played. So they've got a pretty good relationship with the Japanese Rugby Union. They're playing the Japanese team a week after they play the Wallabies there. So it's their home game. That's why they've taken it there.
Australia hasn't won a Bledisloe Cup in 16 years. What are their chances on Saturday night?
I think, you know, when you look at it, you know, kids are in grade 11 now, have never seen the Bledisloe Cup in Australia.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
It's incredible, isn't it? And we were lucky enough through our career to, I think we won it three or four times, a pretty good career through that 90s. But, yeah, it's a difficult one to win. Three test matches this year. And the hard thing is, and Dobbo, you know this, the first game has always been in Sydney of the Rugby Championship against the All Blacks. You lose that one, potentially in the first 7 days of a Rugby Championship, Bledisloe Cup's gone.
Yeah,
yeah, so really dusty.
It deflates the whole rugby championship where you play Argentina and you also play the Springboks, which is from South Africa, home and away. So they are changing that in a couple of years' time to maybe play the All Blacks at the back end of the competition rather than up front.
Australia won in the test against New Zealand in October last year off the back of a pretty memorable defensive game. Is that where they need to win on Saturday night in the defence?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, when you look at, you know, the attacking players that the Wallabies have got, you know, best in the business, Israel Folau, Curtly Beale playing out of his skin at the moment, Bernard Foley at that fly half, Will Guinea at number 9. So attacking-wise, we'll score points, but we've got to be able to stop the All Blacks. And I think defensively, the Wallabies have strengthened that part of their game up there. If you can stop the All Blacks scoring more than 24 points, I think it is, you're a 38% chance of winning the match. So you've got to try and keep them under sort of 25 if you're a chance.
Hey, Timmy, do you reckon we'll see after the game now with the success of the Honey Badger, by being a little bit left of centre and dropping all those colloquial lines of his, that we might see, a few of the other boys from the Wallabies coming off saying, mate, she was tougher than Woodpecker Lips out there today.
You could do, yeah. I'm not sure whether Michael Hooper's got it in him as captain of the Wallabies.
Michael Hooper, that's what we need. Hey, good on you, Timmy. Look forward to seeing it, mate. All the action kicking off this weekend, this Saturday night, in fact, at ANZ Stadium. We'll see it on Fox Sports, mate. And thanks for joining us this Arvo.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it'll be double-headed. So the women's are playing at 5 o'clock beforehand, so the Australian girls versus the New Zealand girls, and then obviously the Bledisloe after that. And looking forward to watching how good the Harker's going to be before the game. Thanks, guys.
Well, an interesting article in the paper today with regards to the future of the M1 and what might be happening with our speed limits. And Mark Bailey is the Minister for Transport and Main Roads, joining us this Arvo. G'day, Mark. Welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, mate. Good to be on your show.
What's going on? Because we're sitting here going, oh, no, they're going to be messing with the speed limits on the M1. And what we understand is that the speed limits will be constantly changing, and that just seems like it's going to be so confusing for us, and it's got disaster written all over it from a speeding point of view, because what was 100 one day might be 90 the next, or 110, and what's happened to Mark?
Well, look, you probably remember there was a lot of focus on the M1 leading up to the games, that a lot of people were very worried about it, but actually it worked incredibly well right throughout the Commonwealth Games. It was well managed. We brought in a range of measures there that evened out the traffic flow and meant that it was a much, I think people were surprised at how good the M1 was during the Commonwealth Games. So we looked at what we're doing there, and your depiction there was probably not very accurate in the sense that we're keeping the maximum speed limits exactly where they are. So 100 zones that are there right now, they'll stay, no problem there. But what we'll be doing during congestion times is that we'll be introducing some variable speed limits. Now, what this is it's a proven gridlock congestion buster that we've got on the Bruce Highway, on the Ipswich Motorway and the Logan Motorway. And what it does is there's a range of different things about it. There's metered ramps, for instance. We put the trucks in the left lanes, which reduces the amount of crashes we have, and it reduces the severity of crashes as well. The metered ramps mean people go onto the motorway at a much more steady pace, so you don't get the clumping as much around the mergers, and you see a much bigger reduction in rear end smashes. And when it's congested, what we'll do with real-time monitoring of the M1 is that we might reduce the speed limit temporarily. So it's only during congestion periods. The vast bulk of the time, the M1, it'll be the same speed limit as it is right now. But if sometimes during peak, maybe if there's a crash, maybe if the weather's really, really bad, we might drop it, say, 20K to basically even out the speed. Right. And paradoxically, it actually means people will get through quicker because there's less lane changes, there's less crashes, and there's basically it's counterintuitive, but it works on the Bruce, it works on the Ipswich Motorway, and it'll be better for the M1 as well.
Do you think that that's actually going to make changes? Because I feel it's the lack of ability of people to be able to drive and being distracted on their phones. I drove home the other night and sat in traffic for an hour it took me to get from up in Brisbane to Logan where I live, and that stretch through Springwood there is a nightmare. They're narrowing lanes. The speed limits come down to 60 in some parts and 80 in other parts. And there were two rear-ended accidents within 100 metres of each other on that stretch.
Yeah, well, look, there's a couple of things there. One is we certainly need the four M1 upgrades that are being funded under the Palaszczuk Labor government. Good old Campbell Newman ignored the M1 there for 3 years and didn't spend a dollar on it, and that was a big mistake. And what we're seeing at the moment is two of those fully funded M1 upgrades are underway, one at the Gateway Merge. We're seeing a lot happening there. The other one down at Mudry Bar to Varsity Lakes. As soon as those two are done, we start the next two M1 upgrades, which are both fully funded as well, straight, the week after. And then we go all the way to the border, six lanes to the border. And then you basically at the northbound side of the Gateway merge will then start.
Hey, Mark, I've got to be honest with you, mate. When I heard that you wanted to lower the speed limit, I thought you're absolutely crazy, but you've explained it perfectly well to me. I'm on board to at least see how it goes. Good luck with it. Let's hope it works, because it can be a real nightmare, and it drives a lot of us Gold Coasters crazy. But thanks for joining us, the Savo, and explaining it. We appreciate it.
No worries. And look, just to let people know, we don't have a date yet. We'll give people a lot of notice before there's any changes. Cool. An implementation plan underway. We'll give people heaps of notice.
Another podcast done with Triple M's Rush Hour. And we think we got it right. For the tools you need to get the job done right the first time, Irwin Tools. Available at Bunnings Warehouse.